Hello again. The topic today is manipulation. First, what is it? Psychological or emotional manipulation refers to efforts to change the behavior or thinking of another person by using abusive, misleading, or devious methods. It's known by a few other names: emotional blackmail, chicanery, pulling strings, conning, or pushing buttons. Sometimes manipulation is subtle, and sometimes not so much. The goal of manipulation is typically a change in thinking that leads to a change of behavior. If your first reaction is, "I don't manipulate," please recall that denial and addictive behaviors go hand in hand. Denial is also something that goes together with compulsive gambling, sexual behavior, eating disorders, and a host of other difficulties. The reality is that most people want to influence others and want the world to work to their advantage. The difference between usual attempts to influence and manipulation is that manipulation is devious, and the subject of the manipulation is wronged. Now, maybe you're really not manipulative, but many, many, many people in recovery feel as though they've had to lie, trick, cheat, deceive, seduce, or otherwise manipulate others in order to maintain their status. Even though you're no longer living in your disease, you may still have some tendency to rely on old manipulative skills just because those patterns of behavior have become, well, habits. You may or may not even realize that you're being manipulative. Now those habits will sabotage your ability to have the genuine and rewarding relationships that are most meaningful, because very few people want to have a relationship with someone whom they can't trust. So what does it look like? Manipulative people tend to lie, often by omission. They typically deny that they are dishonest. They have poor interpersonal boundaries, blame others when they make a mistake. They don't seem to care when others are hurt by their actions, and they might actually blame the person who was hurt for getting hurt. Manipulators are often bright, personable, and charming, but their actions often don't match their words. They are masters of the guilt trip and act as if they feel hurt when confronted with their own behavior. Emotional manipulators tend to look for the weak spots in others in order to exploit them. They refuse to acknowledge mistakes, minimize responsibility for any inappropriate behavior, and divert attention away from topics they'd rather not address. When manipulators are cornered, they are often evasive and offer rambling, perhaps incoherent responses that seem designed to confuse. There are sometimes efforts to intimidate or engage in shaming that might include sarcasm or other kinds of put-downs. If you recognize any of these manipulative traits, I'd suggest a serious talk with your therapist, sponsor, or recovery coach. That'll be a huge step towards better mental health and much better relationships. So why do people manipulate? The answer is, it's complicated. There are a few theories on this, and you're going to have to decide if any of this fits for you. A powerful desire for control is at the top of the list for many who have studied manipulation. Next, and somewhat related, is fear. A fear that they won't have their needs met based upon their own efforts. A fear of inadequacy, and a fear of failure. Some suggest that a weak sense of ethics or a lack of integrity is common to manipulators, and that manipulation is more common among people with specific psychiatric conditions, including bipolar disorder and personality disorders. If you know that you suffer from such a disorder, please understand that no one should be faulted for having a psychiatric condition. But you do need to hold yourself accountable for treating it once it's recognized. Now, here are a few ideas for self-help that will vastly improve your relationships and your sense of well-being. Think for a moment about the person whom you most want to be and the traits that you most want to value. Perhaps caring, being available for others, responsible, honest, communicative. And consider the actions of the person that you seek to be. Work to become really good at understanding the perspective of the other person and to honor that perspective with words that match your actions. Take some time to look inside yourself and determine what you most need and want. If you desire to fill a sense of emptiness, consider that such needs are often most filled with positive relationships, real accomplishments, and a sense of purpose. Consider it a point of strength to accept that you don't always have to get what you want, and that you can also feel good when you can let go of outcome. Encourage a discussion with someone you trust to give you feedback on your manipulative traits. Now, this next suggestion is for those who recognize a tendency to be a perfectionist. Some people manipulate in order to ease their need to deal with feelings of inadequacy that are associated with being a perfectionist, but not being able to be perfect. Cut yourself some slack. Recognize that perfection isn't possible, and that you'll be a lot happier when you accept that pretty good is good enough. Work to build your sense of self-esteem. Recognize your positive traits and develop new talents that you can feel authentically good about. Learn some ways to manage your anxiety. If you're seeing a therapist, she or he might want to use cognitive behavior therapy. You might also want to learn about mindfulness, stress management, autogenics, or yoga. Work on your need to be right, and work to feel good when someone else has a genuinely good idea or solution to a problem. Supporting others is a great way to build genuine relationships. If you get this right, you're likely to get over a kind of toxic jealousy that can often damage interpersonal connections. Work on building your communication skills. Know that we can communicate about our thoughts, our feelings, and our behavior. If you can communicate in a manner that connects your thinking and your feelings about a topic, you are much more likely to be well understood. Occasionally, it makes sense to double check to ensure that what you meant to communicate was actually understood by the other party or the other group. Put a check on any tendency to act before your action is well thought out. If you have to ask yourself, "Is this a good idea?" it might not be. Always work to consider the potential emotional impact of your words or your behavior on the other person. Lastly, periodically consider if what you want improves your own welfare, the welfare of another person, or the welfare of the group, perhaps your family. If you find ways of behaving that enhances those around you, you will most likely have a very positive impact on yourself as well. That's all for now. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you'll do something powerful with these ideas and that you'll revisit these concepts from time to time.